Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of SYD Life. I am Charlotte. I'm here with Alex, and we are going to be talking about being anxious about buying a house, talking about real estate, property investment, and we're going to be joined with a guest later. So stay tuned.
That was brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
SYD
that was the
life.
Best you've done. That's what he left. Stay down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Coachella.
Okay, yes.
I just want to throw you off by not immediately talking about
Taylor Swift, and I am shocked by that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Coachella was happening the last few weeks.
Yes.
Have you ever been?
I've never been. No.
That shocks me.
Does it?
No.
Okay, yeah, because. I don't even fully understand it. I know people wear outfits.
It's just
in
a
the
music
desert?
Festival.
Is it in the desert?
In Palm Springs, California.
Not in the desert. Or it is in the desert.
Yeah.
Okay, in Palm
Springs. It is in the desert, but it sounds miserable.
Yeah.
But it looked really good this year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What are you going to tell me about it?
That Taylor Swift was there.
Oh, she was there.
She was there with Travis.
Hold on, this became a Taylor Swift thing really quick. Okay.
She was there with Travis, weekend one.
Got you.
In the crowd, just like living her best life, like 3 days before her album came out.
Got you. Yeah.
And it was iconic, to say the least.
Why was it iconic?
Because she just like used to never go out.
Yeah.
Like she was never seen.
Sure.
But nowadays.
Right.
With Travis, she's like.
Yeah.
Let's just pop down to Coachella.
Yeah, okay.
And like blow everyone's minds. But it also could have just been her trying to stay like relevant a bit again.
Yeah, I mean, a celebrity going to a concert or a festival doesn't sound that iconic to me.
But it's Taylor Swift.
Got you. That's the key.
It's Taylor
Swift. Yeah, everything she does is iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything has meaning to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of,
her album came out.
Her album came out.
Mm.
Have you listened to it?
Well, I've had to be honest, caught snippets. Yeah. And I said to Felice, because she was listening to it.
I just feel like I'm going to be offended, so just give
yeah,
me
no. Like now, hear me.
Yeah.
I've never been a Swiftie.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the effect and her popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that I think she did well. Remember, I told you I was watching that concert video. I think from the Eras tour, and she was doing. What was that album that I liked? Reputation.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, some of these songs are good. And you know.
You liked the stage.
I liked the choreography and everything
snake,
was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. The snake, the CGI snake. That was cool.
Yeah.
So look, I'm not saying I hate it.
Yeah.
However, this album 100% just was one song for 3 hours. It just sounded like the same song was happening through the whole time. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I just want to rewind.
Okay.
And just talk to you about the album and then I'll share my thoughts because I just can't react to right
immediately
okay, to that.
Okay, so you're upset at me. Okay.
No.
Not that my critique is uncommon. Felicity told me other people are saying that too.
A lot of people have been saying
okay,
that.
Okay, cool. Right.
Yeah. Mm. But it's just like because no one gets her like I do.
Got you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but she – let's. I just want to take you back if you will come on this journey with me.
Okay, I hope our audience will too.
It'll be
Taylor
brief.
Taylor Swift content
it'll be
is
brief.
Always
I,
interesting.
It'll be so brief, okay. I promise. She won an award, announced the album,
yes.
And she did a peace sign, which also means two, double. And everyone's ears pricked up.
Yep.
Everyone's like, wait a minute, that's suspicious. So everyone started being like, oh my gosh, is this album going to be a double album?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh my gosh, no, it can't be. That would be crazy. She would never. But then it's also like, she so would because it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And then Friday, 15 songs are released.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, maybe more, maybe less. I can't remember specifically.
That's fine.
And everyone listens
I
to it, loses their mind. And then two hours later, she released 15 more songs.
Yeah, yeah.
She did.
That's great.
She did release 15 more songs. Like,
look how excited you are.
How crazy that is.
I know. But I actually understand how she was able to do it because it was just the same song 15 times. So, like, yeah, fair enough. You've done a double album. A double album of the same sound.
It's
just, so
okay.
It's like, good on her.
No,
like,
okay.
Shock factor of double album. But what was also shocking is it just the same song?
It's not an uncommon critique.
Yeah.
Or reaction.
Yeah.
But when I listened to it the first time, I did kind of was like got a bit lost in it because it was a lot of it does sound the same. But if you like listen to it a few times, you'll start to separate things.
Yeah.
And it's also like
fair.
That's
fair.
Yeah. I don't know. It was really good. It was a great weekend. But it was so overwhelming. because already the first album went for an hour.
Mm.
And so then it was like, then an hour later, we had another hour.
The same. I know.
Travis got two songs. That never happens in a rookie year for her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So.
I appreciate that fans would have found lots of different meaning and stuff from it. And she's entitled to put out whatever content she wants, whatever music she wants. That's her prerogative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, one more thing.
Mm.
You have a kid.
I have a child, yes.
And her name's Florence.
Yes. Florence and the Machine was on the album.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to say
that. Oh, okay. Nice.
But yeah, your daughter featured on the album.
Was the song Florida or something
Florida.
Like that?
Florida.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know stuff.
Yeah. And she also co-wrote one of the other ones as well. Yeah. But no. So there's this like really popular girl going around on TikTok.
Yeah.
Her name is Nara Smith.
Mm.
And she is so funny. She's like got really famous because she, I don't really know how to explain her, but she was, it would be like, my kids asked for like Cinnamon Toast Crunch for breakfast, so I made it from scratch. And it's like her like literally making like the tiny things.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she.
So she's a bit eccentric, a bit out there.
A bit out there, but then it's like, yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, this could just all totally be fake, but we're not completely sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
But it's like, she just like has the front of like very like, what's the word? Like,
ephemeral.
Minimal. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Minimal and like, we'll just, that vibe. And she just had another kid.
Yes.
And she, I just want to get your reaction to the names of her three kids.
Okay.
So her first kid is called Rumble Honey.
Mm. I'm getting a picture of what this kind of person is here.
Are
Rumble
you ready?
Honey, yeah.
Slim Easy.
Wow.
And then her third kid
is
called...
These are words.
Her third kid is called Whimsy Lou.
Whimsy Lou, okay.
And their last name's Smith.
Well, that's why, because Smith is so boring. You've really got to liven up. So got to throw some Rumble Honey
this,
in there. Yeah.
There's been this thing.
Rumble Honey.
Is it bad that I kind of love the name Rumble?
I love the name Rumble Honey, to be honest, but I couldn't
you
do
could
it.
You could never, yeah. But then there's been all these like TikTokers then have been like being like mocking her and being like, so we just had our third kid and here are some names.
Yeah, nice.
And
I love
it's
it.
Like
okay,
the
great.
Most awful names.
Love
I saw
it.
One that was like, I saw one that was like something like bee pollinator. It's like, but my husband said no. He went for James and I thought, not for me. So it was like, it's literally so good.
I have a cultural moment to discuss with you.
Okay.
Get your opinions on.
Yeah.
Not that I trust everything you think about footwear and fashion, as evidenced by those really nice Adidas that you're wearing right now.
Thank you.
What I was going to... sorry, you said thank you, but I was actually burning you. Okay.
I'm just choosing to hear what I want to
hear.
Yeah,
no, it's clearly.
Yeah.
Even Delulu. That's the Salulu. Yeah. So, I was perusing my news channels and something came up about Crocs, the footwear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've got some opinions on Crocs. But Crocs came out, did you see this? Crocs came out with a Pringles matchup, what do they call it? Combination matchup with Crocs. So they were like Pringles and Crocs were together. I don't exactly know how. Maybe when we do the edit, we can put up the picture of what those shoes look like. And then there were like Crocs heels and.
Yeah. Have you not known the like big, big universe of Crocs?
Yeah. Well, I've.
I'd love to study their resurgence because I wore them as like a little kid.
Yep.
And then thought they were foul, like disgusting for so long, similar to these shoes.
I still do.
And then I bought some.
And now you love them, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
You became a
I don't think
matrix.
That they look that good on me, so I don't wear. Am I?
Yeah, you go for these lovely Adidas shoes that you wear, the indoor soccer shoes.
My pair.
Just want it anytime, any moment.
I'm ready to kick
ready to play
ball.
Futsal? I'm here, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No one's ever asked me to play futsal before.
Which is weird because you are constantly wearing outfits that are like, I'm ready to play.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
My pair are hot pink.
Okay.
My
Crocs. Okay.
So it's not like.
Yeah. It's a strong statement.
It's like I just wear them if I'm running out the door to like go to a friend's house.
Okay, sure.
And occasionally, but yeah.
Well, I understand I'm in the minority on thinking they're fashionable or appealing. I understand that. I've never liked them.
You've never liked them?
Never liked them.
Florence would look really cute in some little baby
Crocs. Yeah, look,
I'm going to buy her some
Yeah, that's
Crocs.
Fine. She can wear them. Like, I don't care enough to stop my daughter from wearing them. But I don't like them.
Pringle Crocs.
Same with Birkenstocks, different combo.
Oh, you don't like as well. People's feet though.
Well, I don't like seeing the feet, especially when it's like sweaty and I can see the sweat patches. And very few flat feet look appealing. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say, we're getting sidetracked on the Birks. We can talk about them in another episode.
Sure.
Crocs.
Yeah.
So I did actually some research. How did they get popular? So these guys.
You did?
Yeah. Well, I was just reading about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to get Crocs. I was just like, how the, because it did make me go, how the heck did these things get so popular and why do I still hate them? Because a lot of my friends wear Crocs, etc.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, these are certainly a cultural icon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I read up a little bit about it, and these two guys were working for another company or something, and they purchased the production rights from just someone else that was making it. They didn't invent the Croc.
Oh.
Someone else did for some kind of footwear. They were looking for footwear that would be comfortable for hospitality and for nursing.
Yeah, that's right. They're
and that's where they came out. They're for that.
Like chefs.
They're for people
stuff.
Who are on their feet all day and prioritize comfort, which is why they look terrible, because it's about comfort. But then something happened about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and it became ironic. And then you see people like the artist Post Malone.
Justin Bieber.
Post Malone. Yeah, he's got a mix. Yeah, he's got one. And then Justin Bieber as well.
He does have, yeah.
I'm saying the guy's name,
I
right?
I love Post Malone.
His name's Post Malone.
I love him. He featured on.
In the album. Yeah. The tattoo thing on the video was cool.
Yeah.
I watched a few things. Yeah. We're not going back down Taylor Swift.
I love Post Malone.
The album sounds the same. So anyway, all these cultural influences are wearing Crocs, and that's what really brought them to fame. Anyway, my point being is, my question was, do you like Crocs? Because I would have thought you might not.
I do.
You like them.
I do, but
well, I'm
also
out here
like,
saying I don't like them. So in the comments, let us know.
I'm not sold out on them.
Yeah.
But also, like, I did hate on them for a long time and then changed my opinion. Yeah. Like I do like them.
Yeah, you've changed. I understand
I think
that.
We'll probably buy another pair.
Cool.
I want to get like a neutral pair so that I can.
Well, anything to replace.
I can style.
What's currently on
Maybe
the menu?
Should I
good.
Wear my Crocs next episode?
No, that's fine. Although pink is good. It's like
mine,
a bold, ironic statement. You know.
Mine shrunk. I left them in the car in summer for like a month.
Yeah.
And then they shrunk. So I can't really wear them anymore.
That's key detail.
Yeah, just in case you're wondering.
Okay, well, there we go. So Pringles and Crocs have got together and I don't like Crocs.
I'm like,
and I reckon there's an audience out there. I reckon there are a bunch of people who are like, I know they're cool, but I don't like them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find those people.
My cousin.
They're my tribe.
My cousins in Scotland.
Yeah.
They live for their Crocs.
Yeah, sure. When would they be able to wear them? It's too cold.
True, actually. Well, they wore them when they came and visited us.
Gotcha.
But one of them has like the platform ones.
Mm.
And I got really convinced of getting them.
Uh-huh. But I didn't. Yeah, I can't see it. But I'm not claiming to be someone who knows fashion. I just cannot get behind it, and I won't get behind it.
Yeah. Hey, I got a haircut.
You got a haircut? It looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah. What would you like me to say about that?
I just saw you.
It looks great. Your haircut looks great.
Thank you.
Just fishing for confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, because I've been slamming the shoes.
Yeah,
okay. Shoes not great. Haircut looks great.
Thank you. Yeah. I actually just remembered another thing I had to say.
Charlotte's just picking up her piece of paper and now she's knocked her mic. Hopefully it all works out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't live on the trains. I catch trains and public transport a lot.
Yeah.
In Sydney.
One of the people.
One of the people for uni.
Mm.
And yesterday I had like a rushed morning. It was my sister's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we like went out for breakfast early and I packed my uni bag and I forgot my headphones.
Oh no.
And a book.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and a book.
I
so no Kindle.
Was
wow.
screwed.
Yeah.
I literally, I like called one of my friends who lived near the cafe we were at and I was like, can I please come and get headphones, but he didn't answer.
Yeah.
I went into a chemist at the train station, was like, do you have headphones? And they said no. So I had to sit on the train for 30 minutes purely
crazy.
With my
thoughts. Absolutely outrageous.
And but also because like I was going to listen to the lecture.
Yeah, sure.
On the train because I was completely unprepared.
Yeah.
And I literally just had to sit there like looking out the window. Anyway, it was
sad.
It was brutal. Mm. It was brutal.
Speaking of brutal.
Yeah.
Before I know we're going to get to our episode really soon. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I don't feature in it, but I'll still listen to it this time.
Great.
It's nice. You know, a lot of people have been asking me, hey, Alex, noticed like you're feeling a bit insecure in the podcast, like Charlotte's going to replace you and with Tyler, who was on episode 2. Mm-hmm. And I was like, guys, Charlotte's assured me he's getting nowhere near this gig. This seat is mine. Don't worry about it. I've got it. Like, I'm going to trust in Charlotte that mm-hmm. even though she cut me from certain things and replaced me with Tyler, it's going to be all good. And then I find out that actually Tyler's now in the room with us, which is a shock. So Tyler's now in the room for our episode. So he's just inching closer and closer. I understand what's happening. You're just trying to get him closer and closer until like the audience is like, which is like, Tyler said, just a younger, balder dude. And I thought, okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's what I'm getting replaced with.
I clearly have a type for this podcast. Yeah, so I'm
and
looking for,
exactly. And you've, yeah, I was like the prototype, but now you've found the true type. So he's getting closer and closer, guys. So SOS for me.
What could I say?
It's more like, I don't think there is anything okay. because your actions are, well, are betraying what you say, because Tyler is like 1 meter away from me right
let
now.
Let us know.
1.8 meters.
If you're listening, if you're watching, who do you prefer?
Okay. Don't let us know that, because I know it's me.
Just, you know, you didn't have to be like overt about it, but yeah, just like,
you do need to be overt. I'm that insecure.
That was so good. Well,
wait, one last thing. Yes. You will not believe this to our audience, but the only person to have words and content cut out of the podcast is our very own Charlotte. I've said it's nothing true. Inappropriate, but she has at least two times that we've had to cut a bunch of
and
bunch
you'll
of the
never
recording.
Ever know what
I know. I
said.
Want to chase it because some, you can't. Yeah, some of it was despicable.
Yeah, cool. Alex just knows how to act in front of a camera better than I do.
Yeah, there's more of a filter.
Yeah, I'll just, yeah.
Yeah, no, you were saying some things.
This makes me sound.
Yeah. Well, so one of them bad. Was highly inappropriate. I just don't think you know what you were saying when you said it, but that's fine. The other one was more like I was just making you feel bad and it was really good squirmy content.
You
but
could
you
probably
better
figure
protect
that
your
one
image.
Out.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Onwards.
We are now going to talk to Jeff Cooper, who is a business owner, property investor, and just like a bit of a gold mine when it comes to all this stuff. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great chat and I will meet you there.
Nice. And I hope you saw Charlotte shove her face into the microphone just then. You did well. You kept your composure. Well done.
Okay. Well, living in Sydney, it's no secret that it's quite an expensive place to live and there's a lot of anxiety and kind of this feeling of impossibility around buying a house in Sydney. But we're joined here with Jeff Cooper, who's a bit of an expert on it all.
Oh, I don't know about that, but there you go.
He is a business owner, a property investor, and we are so blessed to have you join us.
Oh, thank you.
So why don't you just tell us a bit about your experience?
Yeah, sure. Well, I started life as an engineer and worked as one for 8 years and then fell into recruiting and then ended up building up a business and selling that to a Japanese company. But all the way through that, I'd always loved property.
Yeah.
So I bought my first place when I was 25 and I've got my own self-managed super fund, which comprises a whole bunch of country-style properties or you know, properties in New South Wales and Queensland. And so I've been involved in buying places and also building my own places.
Okay, nice.
You know, buying land in the country.
Yeah, right.
And building a couple of houses on a block of land.
Yeah, cool.
But I didn't ever do that myself. It was always other people helping me do that.
Yeah.
Which I think is the key.
The key, yeah.
You don't have to know everything yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then also been very involved in the share market. I've always loved the idea of having kind of multiple streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
So from shares and from property and also from my recruiting.
Yeah.
And also any other entrepreneurial activity.
Yeah,
but,
cool.
But yeah, it sounds like I'm smart, but I'm just kind of hardworking and like reasonably clever.
You are smart. You're so good.
Oh, thank you.
So talking to people that are in uni, just out of high school, kind of young, and are just starting out, have absolutely no idea. I'm in that category. I'm absolutely feels like I'm in the dark.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah. It can feel kind of daunting and just a bit scary and also like, what on earth do I do? So what is like step one when it comes to all this stuff? Like if I wake up one day and I'm like, okay, it's time. What is step one?
Look, I think step one is to get a bit of paper and start writing down your dreams for the future. Don't get stuck in the now.
Yeah.
You know, really, really push it out. You know, maybe think way ahead. Maybe think when you're 30, 40, think when you're 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
What would the ideal thing be? Because everyone's going to be different. Some people are going to be more motivated towards building wealth. Mm-hmm. And they want to become financially independent, for example, which yeah. means that your income from your investments is more than you need to live.
Yeah, okay.
And then other people are more motivated by the security of having a home.
Yeah.
For a family, because that's mm-hmm. very important, you know, mm-hmm. so that you don't get tossed out of rental properties and,
yeah.
you know, you've got the security of a home.
Yeah.
And other people might be like outrageously entrepreneurial, thinking, wow, I want to become a property investor. So yeah. I think if you write all that down,
yeah.
and that also kind of uncovers a little bit of what you believe about money, mm-hmm. because some people
sure.
have a bit of a subconscious sort of ick thing about money.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, you know, yeah. is it ethical for me to buy an investment property? And yeah. oh, you know, is it okay for me to have money? Isn't money bad? And well, so I think it's really good to, once you've written down that kind of that dream that you may have,
yeah.
that helps you uncover
mm-hmm.
Any kind of attitudes you may have. And also it gives you that focus, you
yeah.
know, a dream. And
yeah.
that makes you bolder, that makes you more confident, that yeah. makes you more kind of determined to achieve that goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where you're going to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, you know, if yeah. you've got a dream, you know, you've got a beautiful 4-bedroom home in Avalon or
yeah.
you know, that's not where you start, but you work back from there.
Back from that,
and you
yeah.
develop a whole bunch of steps
mm-hmm.
To help you get there. And these days,
mm.
that plan might be 20 years.
Mm.
It could be 25 years. It could be 10 years. So it's very important not to put too much pressure on
totally.
Yourself to have to think, wow, I have to
yeah.
get there straight away. Because
yeah.
that's not going to be possible for most people.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. So just get everything down and then kind of figure out from there
yeah.
how to get somewhere.
Well, it's really cool when you write stuff down and then 10 years later go back and look at it
yeah.
and think, oh, that's how
yeah.
I was thinking then.
Yeah.
And we all change and we
yeah.
all grow and we all become, you know, like I always think about when you first go to primary school, you think, oh, wow, this is just impossible. It's so big,
yeah.
so terrifying. And then you finish primary school and you go, oh yeah, wow, I'm the king of the castle.
Yeah.
Man. And then you go through the same process, you know, through high
over.
School and through life.
Yeah, constantly. Yeah, that's so good. Why, something I was thinking about when I was like writing questions for this is like, why is it important for us young people to kind of get a grasp on what this is all about?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Look, you've got time on your side.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And time, I think most people are aware of, you know, the idea of compounding.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's that?
Well, compounding interest, for example.
Sure.
If you, it's kind of like the interest that you get on the interest that
okay.
you make. So
okay.
so it's like you every, if you invest $10,000
mm-hmm.
and you get a 5% return,
yeah.
then that original $10,000 grows.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Or let's say 10% return to make it easier.
Sure.
So that grows to $1,100.
Yeah, okay.
And then next year your interest is a little bit more
mm-hmm.
and then a little bit more and a bit more. And so in 7 years time that money will have doubled.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so that's called compounding, and then another yeah. 7 years it will have doubled again. And
yeah.
so in 14 years you'll have $40,000.
Yeah.
And so that's called compounding. And that works in real estate in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
Because in real estate, you've got a mortgage
mm-hmm.
and you're paying off the mortgage, and it can be quite tough at first.
Yeah.
But hopefully your income increases as
mm-hmm.
you get older.
Yeah.
You know, you get more knowledge, more experience, you get pay rises. And as your income increases, it becomes easier for you to pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
But also the value of the property is increasing.
Yeah.
And so what we call this word equity,
mm-hmm.
which is the value or which is what you own in your property,
yeah.
starts to rise exponentially over time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as your property increases in value, and everyone says, well, is that always going to happen in Australia?
Mm.
Well, it always has happened in Australia.
Yeah.
And we have unique dynamics in Australia where we have so much immigration.
Yeah.
We've got such a desperately, we've got a shortfall in properties.
Yeah.
The supply-demand thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's far more demand than supply in properties. And so certainly for the next 20, 30 years, I can't see property prices coming down.
Sure. Okay. And then just kind of on that, obviously Sydney is always, there's always so much chatter about what's happening in Sydney. So for people who are in Sydney, is it better to kind of look out of Sydney?
Yeah. That's, and I think that depends on your own circumstance. I think, I think the next thing, I mean, a really good thing to do is obviously to have a really good look at your own finances and to say, okay, you know, how much am I spending? How much am I earning? What's the difference? How much can I save? And then to do some analysis of that. Because obviously it depends on what deposit you can put down. And that's generally 20% of the value of a property. But I think it's a really good solution to be able to buy a property out of Sydney as an investment. For example, the average price of properties in Perth is one third of the average price of properties in Sydney. So, you know, and I think the average price of properties in Sydney is about 1.3 million now. And and I think in Perth, you know, around that 400 and something thousand. And so that's a really good way to go. Or you could look in Sydney, maybe a one bedroom unit is a starting point. But it really depends on, it depends on how quickly you want to get on the market. So for example, if you're prepared to go through a really disciplined savings program and let's say you said, look, I'm going to save $500 a week. Now that might be far more than anyone can do, or it could be way less than someone could do. Maybe someone can do a lot more. But let's say that you had a goal to save $100,000 in 5 years. Which is not unachievable if you really put your mind to it. That would then give you access to buying potentially a one bedroom unit. On the northern beaches. Although that's probably a little bit of a long bow. Maybe somewhere else in Sydney. So I guess it all starts with really having a good cold hard look at your own finances, and then developing a plan, a savings plan. To be able to be in a position to have choices and make decisions about what you do. And it could be 5 years away before you buy a property. It could be, it could be even more. It could be, it could be even 10 years. Although unlikely to be 10 years if you're a really good saver.
So I kind of, the thing is to just look at it as it's a long term process.
That's exactly right. It's a long game. It's a long term exercise. And don't put pressure on yourself. Don't feel like, oh, you know, it's impossible. I have to, you know, I want to buy now and I can't and I'm frustrated. If you can step back and look realistically, but also while you're saving, while you're getting a deposit, it gives you time. To learn about real estate, learn about mortgages, become financially literate, to then start getting out and looking at properties, going to open homes, inspections, meeting real estate agents, getting to know buyers' agents, and building relationships.
That's so good. And then you kind of touched on it just before, but when it comes to like determining a budget, do you have any tips on how to do that?
Yeah, well, look, I'm terrible at budgets. Oh my gosh, I'm so hopeless. I'm always been like, just make more money. If there's some really good people available to help you do budgets, for example, here in church, the C3 Cares has a team run by Ted Beecher. And they will, at no cost, be really happy to help you develop a budget. But yeah, I think some people are naturally good and very disciplined at coming up with budgets. But and I'm talking about a household, you know, your sort of personal budget. But in terms of you know, trying to come up with a budget for a deposit, it's good to kind of push yourself a bit. It's good to have a bigger vision, which plays back to understanding a bit about who you are, your identity. And I guess ever since I've become a Christian, that's changed completely for me.
Sure.
I'm a lot more confident, a lot bolder.
Yeah.
A lot more convinced that I have the favor of God. And,
yeah.
And I have a lot more confidence that what I'm going to do is going to work out well.
Yeah.
Even though we still make mistakes.
Yeah. No, that's so good. And then, there's always people, because I assume there's some cases where you'd want to get a loan and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a very good point. And I think it's good to start early.
Yeah.
So once you've got your financial situation written down on paper, and you go, well, this is how many assets I have.
Yeah.
These are my liabilities. If you've got a credit card, I'm going to write that down.
Mm-hmm.
I own some gold coins, or I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever, or your car. You know.
Yeah.
Write it all down.
Yeah.
And then write down your income and expenses.
Yeah.
And then your savings plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a really good idea to actually go to a mortgage broker and say, look, I'm not ready to buy a house yet, but I'd love your feedback.
Yeah.
I'd love you to kind of to have a look at my situation.
Yeah.
And let me know what you see.
Yeah,
and then they're more likely to be able to then say, look, you're doing really well. You're on track. If you can keep in mind that there are a few good things that you'll have access to in the future. Like I'm digressing now, but our Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is implementing a plan that says that if you fit certain criteria, the government will kick in either $30,000 or $40,000,
yes,
without any interest,
yeah,
to help you with a deposit,
yes.
But it does mean that they then will own a little chunk of your house.
Sure, okay.
But it's something to consider. So, the more people you talk to, the more you find out about things like that,
yeah,
and the more that they're helping you, because most people really want to help you,
yeah.
So going back to your question about budgeting,
yeah.
Once you've got your budget sorted out. And you've got a reasonably clear idea, when you go and talk to other people, it'll motivate you
to work
a little harder.
Yeah.
Or maybe think, I need a better paying job, or maybe I should get educated, maybe I should go to university and then access higher income.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can start a little business on the side.
Mm.
Maybe I can spend less money.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to consider there.
Totally.
But it's momentum. It's getting moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And momentum seems to create momentum.
Yeah, totally. I love that. Our last episode was about being independent.
Yeah.
And so just taking responsibility and doing the hard stuff. So it's so good. Yeah.
Well, I love that. I must listen to that.
Yeah.
I must listen to that. I listened to your first one and I loved it. You and Alex.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
Yeah. It was a good one. It's a good one. And then what are some classic mistakes that people can make, and how can we avoid those classic mistakes when we're starting out?
Yeah, I think trying to do it on your own, I think, is the biggest mistake.
Yeah.
Because I've had so many people help me.
Yeah.
And people want to help you.
Yeah.
And so if you – for example, if you're wanting to get in the market.
Yeah.
Whenever you meet someone, just say, tell me, are you an investor or do you own a home?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Yeah.
What would you do now if you were doing it?
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give me?
Yeah.
And also getting to know accountants.
Yes.
If you don't have one, well, then maybe your parents have one.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to know lots of people. So don't do it on your own. You don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
Because it's overwhelming.
Mm.
Because you'll go online and read articles and think, oh, I don't understand what they're talking about. And so I think that'd be a big one. The second one, I think, is to be really clear in your mind that you're going to buy a really good quality property.
Yeah.
Because you're buying, you want that property to increase in value.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tempting to go and buy a property in the country that is paying a very high rent, which can translate into what's called a very high yield, which is the return that you get. So for example, if you've got a property that's worth say $500,000, and you're getting $5,000 rent a year from that property, mm-hmm. Well, that's net after all costs. Then
sure.
Then $50,000 rent.
Right.
Then that would be a 10% yield.
Okay.
Which is very high.
Yeah.
And it can be very tempting to think, oh wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But if the value of the property doesn't grow, or potentially if it falls down.
Mm.
Like in mining companies, when the mine closes,
yeah,
and all
sure.
the properties are worth nothing,
yeah.
So you've got to buy good quality mm-hmm. properties that are close to all of the amenities,
sure.
shopping centres, schools, okay. transport,
yeah.
And it's got to be in a place that's growing because people yeah. are moving in there. It's growing and it's prospering,
yeah.
And rental and prices are going up, yeah. So that's really important. And I think also. You know, getting the right people to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I use buyer's agents
mm-hmm. okay.
because I don't have time to find the properties that I want.
Sure.
And I've got a relationship with three different buyer's agents who ring me every now and then and say, mm-hmm. "Oh, look, there's this really good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to be involved?"
Mm-hmm.
And I trust them.
Yeah. Sure.
But not everyone is going to be trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think. You know, getting referrals mm-hmm. from people that you know and trust
yeah.
and saying, oh, look, I've used Fred for many years. He's been great.
Yeah.
And because it's a personal relationship, there's a little bit more accountability
yeah, sure.
from that chap to mm-hmm. make sure that they look after my
yeah.
friend, if you
yeah.
like. And also don't stretch yourself too hard.
Sure.
Which is tempting, I know.
Yeah.
You know, because if you put yourself under enormous pressure,
yeah,
it can make life difficult.
Yeah, even on that, it'd be great if you could speak into the stress that people are feeling about it. That it just kind of feels like, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'll never be able to buy a house or stuff like that. If you have anything on that, it'd be great.
Yeah, I think it's very normal.
Yeah,
to have that kind of stress, mm-hmm. and I think there's a couple of key things that we have to learn as we go through life.
Mm-hmm.
One is to get comfortable with dealing with uncertainty.
Yeah.
Because nothing's certain.
Yeah.
And, when you wake up in the morning, you don't know for sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah.
But you're pretty robust. And
you still live out the day.
Yeah, you still live out the day.
Yeah.
And so being comfortable with living with uncertainty and not feeling, as I said before, not feeling like you have to know it all, because
mm-hmm.
it's a big pressure
yeah.
if you're a lone soldier. And, and as you said before, if you're so independent
yeah.
that you want to do everything yourself,
yeah,
that puts enormous pressure
totally.
On
totally, yeah.
Yeah, and I think going back to other things, building relationships with people
yeah.
who have done it already.
Mm.
So if there are people in your world,
yeah,
you know, in your whether it's church, whether it's your educational institution, whether it's your work, whether
yeah.
it's sport, whatever, have conversations with people, and you learn a lot. You get ideas, and it also normalizes it.
Yeah,
because you can see that, wow, they bought a house and they don't earn extremely high income, and so you can say, how did you do that?
Yeah,
and also I think as you get to know more people that are in the same situation as you. You're in a much better position to be able to say to people, hey, we've chosen not to go to restaurants because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Why don't we start to do a bit of a progressive dinner night? You know, we'll have dessert at your place. We'll have a main meal at ours, and then we'll go to have entree and then main meal, then dessert at Mary Lou's place.
Yeah.
You know, and Be creative and have fun, you know.
No, yeah, totally. Like bring people alongside that journey with you.
Yeah. Because it's not a new thing. It was just as much pressure on people my age buying our first property.
Yeah.
In fact, when I bought my first property, I made pretty much every mistake. I didn't have finances approved.
Mm.
And when I went to the bank and told them what I'd done, they went, oh, no.
Whoops.
We are not giving you a loan.
Yeah, wow, okay.
I had to go to about 10 different banks.
Oh, no. Yeah, wow. Well, such great advice, honestly. We do a segment on our show where we ask, like, what's the one thing you want people to take away from our conversation? So if you could give people one thing, what would it be?
The one thing. I think I think really challenge your own thinking,
mm-hmm.
and really, really challenge. We all, everyone gets into a rut.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to get into a rut.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the one thing that I'd say is to really boost your own confidence and boost your own boldness.
Yeah.
By getting outside of your world.
Mm,
and
yeah.
So, you know, it might be going to listen to a property seminar. Mm. I'm not saying that you necessarily need to follow on with what these guys do, but I mean, people that have achieved a lot of success in property, because it kind of stirs you up a bit.
Yeah.
And when you're around people that are successful and confident,
yeah,
it makes you think, well, wow, I could do that.
Yeah.
But if you're just talking to, or if your group of friends are all extremely negative about that,
yeah,
then it's going to be hard for you to have a different mindset.
Totally.
So yeah, I think just be bold, believe that God has a great plan and future for you.
Yeah,
it's a little bit like the Israelites.
Mm.
You know, coming out of slavery in Egypt and then in the wilderness, just enough to survive.
Yeah.
And then God's got the promised land for
us all.
Totally,
yeah.
And I think that's very, very important. So your mindset, totally. What you believe about money, and if you have any real concerns about maybe you're brought up to think that money's really evil and that anyone who owns property is a terrible person, maybe challenge that thinking.
Challenge that, yeah.
And talk to other people.
Yeah, so great. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, so fun. We have loved having you on this podcast. Wow. Try and get you back sometime soon.
It's been a real pleasure being here. This is very cool.
Oh, thank you. I know it's a different set since last time. Made a few changes, but yes, thank you so much for all your advice, wisdom. So great. Such great advice from Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Absolute genius.
Got to get him back on. He's funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
And so
funnier than me?
No.
Funnier than Tyler.
Yeah.
Good. Man, you're starting to get it. She's starting to get it, folks.
So I'm not sure if you heard, but Taylor Swift released an album.
Didn't we already talk about this at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah. And she's often compared to the likes of Shakespeare.
Yes. Okay.
So we're going to see if you can tell the difference now.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's a bit fun. Okay, so we're playing a game and I'm trying to guess.
If it's Taylor Swift or Shakespeare.
Who wrote it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes.
Whoa. Taylor Swift.
Nice.
Okay, are you ready?
Sorry, I can't be perfect. It's neither.
Alex Franco.
No, it's that band. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's a band. I'm sorry.
The National?
I can't be perfect. No,
I've never heard of it. I'm actually only just 20, so... Might be a bit out of my...
Okay.
Okay. Almost 21.
You know, Shakespeare's older than you.
Almost 21. Yeah.
Well, if you're lucky, I'll make you 21st.
Everyone's invited. No. No. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
I think that you will get every single one of these right.
Oh, that is so much pressure, Charlotte. Why did you do that?
Just like,
No, you are absolutely setting me up for a fail here.
I don't think it's that hard.
That's a power play. Wow. Well, why don't we do it to you then?
Because I would get them all right. Okay. Did I close my fist around something delicate? Did I shatter you?
Taylor Swift.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good. That's 1 point.
Thank God. At least I got one.
Did you miss the rogue that coaxed you into paradise and left you there?
Did you miss the...
Rogue that coaxed.
Shakespeare? Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift from... That's from Evermore.
So you didn't write what song that was from beforehand?
No, but I... Oh, but it is. I can figure it out. Did I close?
No, I don't need you to. I just thought I was curious.
Coney Island. Featuring
nice.
Your favorite artist.
Who?
Incorrect, sorry.
Yeah. I didn't think the Beatles were on there.
No. It is. It's with Aaron Dessner.
He's the National, not the Beatles. There's a good four decades between them.
That you love the National.
I love the National.
They're not your favorite
close
band.
To my favorite band. Not even close. The Lumineers are my favorite band.
Aww.
Matched with maybe the Beatles, but Lumineers.
I love the Beatles too. What's your favorite Beatles song?
Wow. I don't know.
Mine's In My Life.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready? Are you impressed that I knew? I know the Beatles.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I'm going to a James Taylor concert tomorrow. Do you know who James Taylor is?
Yeah, I do. No interest.
Oh. Yeah. My tongue will miss the taming of my heart.
That'll be Shakespeare.
Yep.
Yeah, just.
Which one?
I don't know.
Taming of my heart.
I don't know.
Oh, Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So you've
I'm not a Shakespeare scholar.
One for three. Yeah.
Well, two for three. I got the first one. The first
one out of three so far.
No, Charlotte, let's just do some simple maths. First question I got right.
Yeah.
The second question I got wrong.
Yeah.
You just did a third one.
Oh, and you got it right.
And I got it right. Sorry. So that's two out of three.
Okay.
I'm sure Tyler will be on zero.
Okay. Past the curses and cries beyond the terror in the nightfall.
Say it again.
Past the curses and cries and... Oh, hold on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, look, past the curses and cries beyond the terror in the nightfall.
Can you sing it? Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just nice. trying to think of the Maryland.
I know, but you shouldn't have. You just fell for the trap. I tricked you into.
I'm pretty sure that this is from your wife's favorite Taylor Swift song.
I know, but I think you haven't realized that I just tricked you into giving me the answer. Ha ha.
Whatever.
Three out of four.
Okay.
75%. That's good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Is there how many more?
One, two, three, four.
Wow, that's too many.
I deleted two off this list. Okay. In my... Oh, sorry. Just messed up from the get-go. Mm. In black ink, my still shine bright. I feel like I wrote this down wrong.
Shakespeare. Yeah. What's it from?
Sonnet 65.
Oh, yes. Of course. My favorite sonnet. One of my
preferred.
He
has an iconic one, but I don't know what it is. Oh, what I said earlier about that being from your wife's favorite song, I was wrong.
Cool. No worries. I don't care.
I'd meet you where the spirit meets the bone. Leaving some room for the audience to guess along too.
Well, we'll just cut that. Yeah. Hey guys, have a guess.
Let us know below.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I have to guess so fast, otherwise it's dead air. Say it one more time.
I'd meet you where the spirit meets the bone.
I'd meet you where the spirit meets the bone. Taylor Swift.
Correct.
Yes.
From your wife's
I've
favorite
I've heard
song.
That song, I think, in my
Ivy.
House. Yeah. Yeah.
House of Stone. Yeah.
You don't have to sing. She does it good enough.
The beats of a dark heart. Sorry. These beats of a dark heart.
Shakespeare.
And your favorite Taylor Swift song, Bad Blood from the Kendrick Lamar rap.
It's not my favorite song. Stop saying things are my favorite.
It's your favorite Taylor
it's
Swift
not,
song.
It's
Bad
not.
Blood with Kendrick
Bad
Lamar.
Blood is not my favorite. I don't even, I know the chorus. That's all I know. I know
these
that one line.
Beats of a dark heart.
Yeah. I don't know that. I literally have never heard that in my life.
Well,
stop me saying things are my favorite when they're not.
Whatever. And finally,
whatever.
Love is merely madness.
Shakespeare.
Yep.
Nice.
From As You Like It, which I've never heard of personally.
Mm, okay.
But yeah. So.
Well, once again, I've done terribly, although better than the words.
One.
I got about maybe six out of eight, five out of eight. Not too bad. Five out of eight.
Genuinely couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well, you might have noticed that the audio cut out there. Yes. We're not sure what happened. So we've come back in the studio.
Let us know if you do.
Yeah. Actually, help. SOS. We don't know what Charlotte did. Could not be my fault. Has to be hers.
Yeah.
So we are just saying, wrapping up this episode, saying thanks so much for listening. Big thank you to Jeff for equipping us on how we can take some steps to buying a property in Sydney.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff. You were fantastic.
Thank you, Jeff.
We also just want to say, hey, if you're enjoying this content, if you're enjoying this podcast, enjoying our banter and some of the topics that we discuss, we would love for you to share that with a friend. We're putting on this podcast for the people of Sydney, people in their 20s, trying to help equip them navigate living in Sydney. And so if you think there's some value here, if you think we're helping, please, we encourage you, share it with someone. We'd love to reach more of Sydney. Thanks so much, guys, and have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
SYD Life is a podcast produced by C3 SYD Church. We exist to help people know Jesus, find community, and discover their purpose. Find us on our website at c3syd.church and for more content and clips at sydlife.podcast.